Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We're getting closer to Christmas.
I know it, right?
And I'm working hard on everything. I'm trying to do everything.
What are you working hard on? Christmas list or work or?
Oh, I'm doing a Christmas list. I'm doing everything. Renewing driver's license right here at the last minute.
Oh,
I'm doing everything.
Oh.
And I just read this week on the Neighborhood Watch, somebody got this package and it was two little pigs. She said, I did not order any pigs. Oh, my gosh. If somebody delivered pigs to me right now, I don't know what in the world I'd do.
Oh, my word.
I believe I'd just sit down and cry.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody buying pigs.
No.
Why would anybody buy a couple little pigs?
I don't know. And why would they get them as a gift? Is it a gift from somebody or...
they ordered them. Maybe they needed them, at their place. I mean, I just don't know. I don't think your kids really would ask for a little pig.
No, I don't think so. I've never heard of that showing up on anybody's Christmas list, ever.
I don't know about it either. They didn't say where they came from. And I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to post it probably and try to find the owners and... get them to come get those two little pigs.
I'm sure. I don't know what that's about. I've never heard of that before in my life.
I mean, training pigs would not be easy.
No.
That would not be something I'd want to attempt.
No. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you have a package show up, you open it, and it's two little pigs. I don't, what do you do?
I don't know what the heck you do. And right now, everybody's, the drivers on all these, like Amazon, UPS, Brown, everybody, they're delivering to the wrong addresses. Every day I see people on Nextdoor saying, if you tell me what package it is, your name, it's here on my porch.
Wow.
I got this today. And then other people say, they showed me a picture. I know where my package is, but it's not at my house. Could you bring it over? Or would you tell me, where this is and I'll come get it?
Yeah.
And I never saw it so bad. I mean, can't they read and write and do arithmetic?
I don't know. I've seen a bunch of that, too. People posting a thing on the app, and they'll say, hey, this is the package they sent. They said it was delivered. It looks like it was delivered, but this is not my place. So if you have it, please bring it to me.
And they also, if you can just identify it, it's yours.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's looking for a package, needs to go on there and look and see which package is theirs and which neighbor's house it's at.
Exactly. And probably there's a good chance that people would at least recognize, the door or the surroundings or the house or... maybe there's a tree that they recognize or something where you could identify where it is.
When one lady said that hers went two blocks down and she knew where it was. And she's waiting for him to come home where she could contact him and say, may I come get my package?
Wow. It was two blocks away.
Two blocks away, and the driver just got it mixed up. That's crazy.
Wow. I can't even imagine. How does all that keep happening?
I don't know, because they've got GPS.
Yes.
I mean, if you've got a GPS, you should know exactly where you're supposed to be going.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, it takes you right to the front door. There's usually a number. I don't know why all of a sudden this is a thing. What happened? I mean,
I don't know. And, I had a package coming yesterday from a farmer's dog. We ordered Bella's food from there. And they'll say, do you want it to come on time or do you want us to back off or do you need it early? I mean, they're the greatest people I've dealt with. And then every once in a while they'll send a survey and say, does she like her chicken? Does she like the beef? Is there anything we can do to improve it? And yesterday it arrived in DeSoto, Texas, and it showed it was on the truck all day long. I kept saying, I don't have time to wait for this. When is it going to happen? At 9:30 last night, it showed up.
Oh, my word.
And it's packed in dry ice every time. So as soon as it hit the ground, I got a note from Farmer's Dog, and it said, bring it in the house right away. Make sure it's either frozen or extremely cold. I mean, they were tracking it also.
Wow.
How many companies would do that and send you a message?
Yeah, and then follow it up with instructions. It's here, and get it inside. Don't horse around for a while. Go take
That's
care
right.
of it, because it's food. So it can
and it
go
says
bad.
It has to be either frozen or extremely cold.
Wow.
And they were checking on it. And they check on Bella during the month, and they'll send me an email.
Do they
How's
really?
Bella doing? Does she like her food? Is there anything we can do to improve it?
Wow. And what do you say back? Does she like it? Is it?
Is yes, it... she likes it. And the other day, she wasn't eating good, and I contacted them, and they talked to me. They are not one of those that won't talk to you. They have a live person to talk. And I said, well, Bella isn't eating as good. They said, you need to put Parmesan cheese on top of her food.
Really?
And I did that, and she's loving it again. Parmesan cheese. That's the answer.
Parmesan cheese. Wow.
Yeah, Parmesan cheese. You have to put that on it if they get picky, and then they love it again.
I had no idea. I've never heard of that before. Dress it up with Parmesan cheese. Wow.
You dress that thing up, and they'll go back to eating like they should.
So she just wanted some fancy lunch.
That's right. She was tired of it being plain. And you put that on it, and she's ready to go.
Wow. And you talked to him.
I talked to him, and they were nice and said, well, this is probably what's wrong.
Well,
this
gee.
This is what she needs. She needs some Parmesan cheese.
Wow.
I go, well, I'll try. And she loved it. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that she was tired. What kind of lunch? What was it, like turkey or beef or fish? Or?
They have turkey, they have beef, they have chicken, and it's mixed with different things, sometimes vegetables, sometimes grains. And then they'll see which kind she likes the best. And do we want to change any of it? Do we want to have like all chicken or all turkey, you know? And we've been doing a mixture.
Wow. And they actually called you and you talked to an actual person.
I talked to a real live person, just as easy as it could be.
Wow.
And they love animals. They love dogs.
Well, that's rare.
And the owner of this company started out because his dog wasn't eating the dog food. And he started preparing it and he went into business making dog food.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't even know how it started. I had no clue. Huh.
Yeah. And as I said, they'll talk to you at any time. And they're available. Customer service is available a lot of hours.
Well, on TV, it always looks like, you know, you see the commercials, it always looks like it's got like real peas and rice and like real food.
It does.
Food.
It has real things in it, yes.
Wow. I didn't.
It's not fake.
Huh. I didn't know if it was just like pressed in that form or that shape or if it was real. I guess it's real.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it comes in that plastic bag deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you just cut off the top of it. Each day you take some out, put the rest back in the refrigerator. So
wow.
One package lasts 4 days.
Well, it sounds like she eats better than some people.
I think she does.
Oh, you're putting Parmesan cheese on her supper. And
well, you've got to do whatever it takes. I mean, if you're buying that food, you certainly want them to eat it.
Yeah.
And once she stopped eating it, I go, we got to find out what's wrong.
Yeah. Wow.
And, she just wanted some seasoning on it. She wanted Parmesan cheese.
Maybe I'll start putting Parmesan cheese on all my food to make it more interesting and fancy.
It would be more interesting, I assure you.
Wow. I'm just still shocked you talked to an actual person and they said something that was helpful and they didn't,
yeah,
you know,
and they didn't blow me off or anything.
They
were very patient, and every once in a while they'll send a deal and say, how's Bella doing? Is she okay?
Wow.
I mean, they're really dog people. They really are.
Clearly. And when you have a passion for what you do, that makes all the difference in the world instead of just like phoning in every day. You know, people actually care and it makes their advice a lot better. You know, so.
And when they're a real person and you're not talking to a machine, it's a lot better.
It is. We talk about that all the time. And that's one of the things that we always talk about you and over at, who is it? Is it Philip and a couple
other?
Yeah,
or James.
Yes.
Yeah, Philip or James, either one.
Yeah, over at Nevada
Trust. Yes, they talk to anybody. They're like me. We all talk to the clients.
Yeah. And you love what you do. They love what they do. And so, you know, and you know, you're actually there and you care about making people money and doing the right thing and getting them good advice and things like that. So that's what this is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm just shocked. You know, it's like we always talk about how people can pick up the phone and call you and how customer service, generally speaking, doesn't exist anymore. And then, boom, you run into one thing, and it was so impressive, it stood out.
It did stand out because nobody wants to talk to us anymore.
No.
I mean, I get so frustrated with these companies. I call them and press 5, go to 6, and then they just disconnect.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk to us. They don't want to know our complaints. Or if, even if we're happy, they don't want to hear from us.
No, no. And you end up in the never-ending loop, and then you're pressing 241, and then all of a sudden, you end up back at the beginning, and you're starting all over again. It's like, oh, my word.
That's right. Or then it just disconnects.
That's my favorite.
I love it when it disconnects.
Yes. 10, 15 minutes going through the phone maze, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. They don't even tell you. It just hangs up. That's the best.
Yes.
So let's talk about some money. What's going on with stuff?
Well, we've got a lot of policies that have matured. The Gallo policy's in. The Turner policy's in the bank. Ms. Bloomberg is not in the bank yet, but all the others are. So several $1 million have matured, is in the bank for the people. So that money is available to them. They can reinvest it now. We can do the same thing again. So that was short term, and it worked. So those people will all be wanting to reinvest.
Yeah, I remember that was coming, but it's all in the bank now.
All of it's in the bank except Rosenberg, and she's the last one. She just passed away last week.
Yeah.
So that one's not time yet.
Yeah, it's a little. It would be a little early for that one.
Yes, it's a little early for that, but all the others are.
Yeah.
So that's over $2 million that has been put in people's accounts.
Good Lord. And that's like like right now. That's not like over the history of the year or
no,
anything. That's right now.
$2 million this month that's went to people's accounts.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. That's not something to sneeze at. When you start, I know we talk about, when your policies come in and it goes in and you reinvest, but having real hardcore numbers like that, like dollar amounts, that's impressive. That's just one of those things that'll make you kind of tilt your head a little bit to the side. And if somebody's not doing some kind of a conservative investment like a life settlement, it would be one of those things that would probably make things a little bit different for people than say.
Right. And I think a lot of them made over 30%.
Oh.
I don't remember the percentages, but I know it was good and it was short and they made it in a short time. Two of the policies, they got paid within 6 months.
Wow.
So that was a blessing, unexpected. They were a lot sicker than what we thought.
Yeah. I remember those were supposed to go, and I don't remember the exact length of them, but they were something like, when they're like 12 or 18.
I think 15 months on one. The other one might have been 16. They were pretty close in length, but they both came in short. Tells us they were a lot sicker than what we were thinking.
Yeah, substantially early.
Yes, substantially early. When you can get paid in 6 months on a 12 or 15 month policy, it's a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, so that money is ready to go back into more policies. So how are we on policy availability?
Well, we're bidding on several. The one we talked about last week, the owner has not accepted our bid yet. The one that we talked about that had the huge profit on it.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't won the bid yet, and they're holding out. But what's really funny, a policy that we bid 2 months ago. Lady said it just wasn't enough and left and was going to do business with somebody else. She's back.
Oh.
Nobody bought her policy. You know, we were right on the money. And she had these expectations that she was going to get 90%.
Oh, geez.
Nobody's going to get 90%.
No.
Because time you paid out the fees and everything, there wouldn't be money for the client.
Yeah.
So they can't do that. But she thought she could. And now she's back in the arena asking somebody to buy it.
Is that one of those that you would revisit, or have you moved on to other ones?
Well, we've moved on to other things. We might come back to it if she gets serious.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, and that's got to be one of the, I guess, frustrating things is, and this is all completely out of your hands and out of your control, but, you know, you've had people come before that have put, you know, policy up for bid, and people will bid on it, and then they'll say no, and then they'll kind of, I guess, forgive me if I'm phrasing this wrong, but withdraw the whole thing, and then come back around a few months later when they realize, oh, I was trying to play hardball, I didn't get what I was hoping for. It's not really a contract negotiation. It's not like, I mean, there's a certain threshold that you have to meet before it stops being profitable. And so if you don't hit those numbers, I mean, it kind of is.
Everybody will drop out is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Is they're going to drop out if you don't come to the right decision?
Yeah.
And if they all drop out, you're going to have to go home because you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of knows what a policy is worth and what the investors have to make.
Yeah.
So if you can't come to that realization, you're going to end up keeping the policy.
Yeah. It might be kind of a wake-up call for some people who are, you know, trying to, I guess, sell their policies to find out, you know, what the entire landscape is worth instead of saying, well, this person, you know, is going to, you know, offer this much and then we'll get more over here. And then come to find out the other person offers, you know, the same amount or something similar. And then they start to realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, we can't. I mean, it's not like we can leverage something and say, well, you know, we'll put something up against her. It's not like that at all. It's just, you know, I think when they realize that, you know, it is what it is and they can only get so much out of it, you know, maybe they'll have their
market won't bear but a certain amount.
Exactly.
And then if everybody goes home, they're going to have to keep it.
Yeah.
Now, some people will bid really high. And we know who they are.
Yeah.
So sometimes they will bid so high that everybody else drops out and says, go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
And we can't afford it. We don't have enough profit there. Just go ahead and do it. You know, and everybody will back off.
And do they actually do it?
Sometimes everything works just right, and we end up with a bid.
Yeah. You know, and that's got to be a fine line of maybe a balancing act to figure out, okay, well, I mean, let me ask. I'll just, you know, put this out here. When you're looking at a policy, are you saying, okay, for this particular policy, based on what it is, the LE, profit margins and all that, this is the line? Or is it all standard, or is it all different for each policy? Or
it's different with each one. And it depends on how bad we want that policy and if we think that it's going to come in early or on time and what our profit margin is. If we've got a good enough profit margin, you know, we'll rebid it two or three times. But if it gets to a certain point and we can see all the profits slipping away, we're going to just walk away. But if it's got a real good profit, the premiums are real low. Sometimes we did one this week. That we're bidding has no premium at all.
Oh,
they had that waiver of premium on it. When they have that, that really makes it attractive.
Wow. Yeah. Because
it doesn't matter what happens, there's no premium.
Yeah. It's just any time you reduce any kind of overhead like that, it makes it more profitable. And I'm sure investors love that when that comes around.
Oh, yeah. When we can tell them there's no premium, they get excited.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, golly, yeah, I'm in. No matter what, I'm in.
That's right.
Because at that point, it's just a waiting game. So if you had a policy, and I don't even know if this is even a thing, so this may not even make any sense, but if you had a policy, say that was, I don't know, 30 months, say the LE was 30 months, and does that mean that there's more wiggle room for, like, when you're bidding – to kind of like that profit margin? Is there more wiggle room for like a 30-month policy than, say, like a 15-month? Or is that not even
no.
a thing?
What it means is look at the 30-month one. What kind of cancer is it? What's our chances of it coming in early? What can we buy it for? That's the whole deal. If can we buy it low enough to give the investor a good return?
Okay. All right.
You know, and sometimes if the return gets down to 8%, 10%, we're not going to touch it. And not if it's on a 30-month, because on 30-month, we should be making about 34%.
Okay. All right, so it really doesn't have anything to do with the term. It's really the policy itself and that profit margin.
Yeah, Ellie what the profit margin is, what can it be bought for, and we come out for the client.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if there was like if it was like a 30-month, say, and, you know, the odds of it coming in 20 or, in, you know, maybe 18, if that meant that there was more wiggle room or not. So, I kind of understand.
You know, we're going to bid it for, like, the 30 months. Then if it comes in early, it's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah, I know you do a lot of weighing and, you know, pros and cons, I guess, behind the scenes of not only just, you know, do we want to bid on it, but how aggressive do we want to get and things like that. I just didn't
really
know.
Well, it depends if it's already in 2-3 locations, it's a better policy. If it hadn't metastasized anywhere, it's not near as good. But if it's metastasized, let's say, to the liver or the colon, and it started out in the stomach, it's a great policy. Breast cancer, if it's spread to the lymph nodes, and it's in, you know, 20 lymph nodes, they're not going to make it. So you know that in advance. So all these policies, you're looking for what, where it's at. Is it went to the brain? Usually it'll go to lungs, brain, and maybe then the lymph nodes. So that's a good policy. Mm. And it depends if they've already done surgery, and then it went in remission, now it's back. Remission didn't mean anything. It meant it was just stalled for a minute, and that cancer got aggressive. It's come back full-blown.
Yeah. And then
so the second time it'll get them.
Yeah, it's much more. What do you say? It's an aggressive thing. Is that the right word?
If it's aggressive, we're interested. If it's aggressive, it's moving. It's already claimed 2-3 places on it.
Okay.
One of the ones we're bidding on this week, the lady, you know, was dizzy, had all these other problems, and she had cancer, but she didn't realize it. So she's going to the doctor for dizziness, all this. Then they did the blood test. Then they checked all the lymph nodes, all this. And she had an aggressive form of cancer. That's why she was, you know, in bed all the time. That's why she was dizzy all the time. And so they've started, you know, all kinds of cancer therapy to try to save her life.
Oh, geez. Wow, there's so much that goes on. And, you know, when you bid aggressively on a policy, you're not looking at just the numbers, but you're looking at, you know, lifestyle. You're looking at a lot of other things besides just, you know, what doctors say. You do a lot of, is it fair to say you do a lot of reading between the lines as well?
Well, we want to see how many times she's been in the hospital. What do they say when she's been in the hospital? How aggressive are they treating it? Do they say they're going to try to operate? Are they saying, no, we can't do that?
Yeah.
And sometimes when they operate, then it spreads once you open it up. So there's all kinds of factors with each body, and depending on what the client wants to do. Do they want to, you know, try all this other? Or are they saying, let me alone, let me just, you know, live as long as I'm going to, and let me alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell my policy and that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got clients right now in Midland that have cancer. We know they're not going to make it. And they're taking care of their business, getting their business in order.
Mm.
Because some of these cancers, our clients have died in the last 2-3 years, are very aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of another thing, too, is not only are you bidding on policies, but now you still buy them, like, direct, right? Like, you are, like, people could sell it
yes.
to you, right?
That's right. They can buy, we can sell or buy them direct in Texas because we are a provider in Texas.
Okay.
If it's in another state, we have to have someone sell it to us. We can't go direct to a client like in Florida or somewhere like that. Okay. But we can in Texas.
All right. So for people that are looking for, I don't know, is it fair to say that a life settlement is more of, I'm trying to think of a way to phrase it that would be accurate, because it's not an aggressive investment, but it does have larger profit margins than, say, an annuity.
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right.
If you get it trained right, and get a repetition and repetition and repetition, you'll always have money coming in.
Right.
And especially if you're buying the newer policies, we've gotten so much better since 23 on the new policies. The new policies are coming in like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
They're not going over. They're not going long.
Yeah, the information that you've got is, and not only do you have, you know, better information, but the advancements, all the technology, and they can better pinpoint, LEs and things like that, based on the science, based on the data, and things like that. So even it seems like they've gotten so much better, even in such a short amount of time. Is that fair to...
Well, it seems to me like it took a long time to get it right, you know, because like everybody else, when we started out, we made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But then we got better. We got better LEs, and now the people that are doing the LEs are doing a better job. So we're doing a better job because of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The last 2-3 years have been really, really a lot of improvements. So I know you have some investors that, you know, got in on life settlements very early on. And some people have, I don't want to say maybe took a break, but they're kind of on the sideline maybe, and maybe hesitant to get back in. But I tell you, the numbers, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think you started going through, and you didn't name any names or anything like that, but you were saying, you know, dollar amounts that some investors have been making. And the ones, and you're right, the ones that have been more, in more policies at any given time are the ones that are really, really growing their portfolio by leaps and bounds. And that's the key is diversity, diversifying
that's
your
right.
portfolio.
If you're diversified, you can make money. If you're not, you're not going to make the kind of money they want to make.
Yeah.
But if they stay diversified and have a lot of policies, as they come due, you put that money back in,
Yeah. Yeah. You say that all the time. It's like, you know, the more policies you're in, it's not one of these things where, you know, it's set up to just come in, invest in one policy, and then ride off into the sunset and retire. It's, you know, several years of, you know, in and then pay out and then in and then pay out and then in. And that's kind of how it works. And if you're in, say, 5 or 10 policies at any given time, then one may come in. You're still in 9 more. That one that just paid out goes back into another one, and then you're back up into 10. And so you say all the time that it's perfectly normal. It's the nature of it for some policies to come in early, some on time, and some maybe be a little bit late. But when you average them all out, people are making quite a bit of money with life settlements.
They are, and I see their checks. I know how much money's in their bank account, so I know how good they're doing.
Yeah. We briefly mentioned annuities as well. I'm just kind of curious, those are the bonuses still here? What are we?
14? Well, it's down to 14%, but we've still got the bonuses. And people that already have policies, they can add to theirs, and they're going to get their bonuses just like whatever it calls for. If they had a 16% bonus on an older policy, they can add money to it, and they'll still get the 16.
Oh!
But if you're doing a new policy, just starting now, it's down to 14. So you'll get the 14 this year and the next 3 years on any money you put in it. People love these bonus products.
Boy, I'm glad you said that. I didn't even think about asking that, but so just because it's gone down from 16 to 14, anybody that opened an annuity with the 16, they still get the 16 if they keep putting back in. It doesn't drop.
That's exactly right, for 3 years.
Wow. Cool.
because that's what their contract called for. So they're going to get that.
Neat.
And everybody should be doing some annuities right now. It's the end of the year. You know, some IRAs, some joint accounts. They've got to take some RMDs. There's a lot of things going on. And people need to be doing annuities where they'll have something steady, something they know will, no matter what happens, the annuity will be there. I love annuities. Most of my clients love annuities.
Yeah. They're one of the greatest, or one of the greatest non-engagement type of conservative investment you can get into, because you don't have to do stuff. you know, it's not like, oh, I gotta, you know, this month I have to do this and that month I have to do that. There's no maintenance with it. You're in, and then you check
it'll
in
take
a year.
Care of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
and
consistent.
And a guy told me this week that last month he made $60,000. This week he lost $60,000. So he's in the stock market. It's not steady. I mean, you think you've made this money, then it goes back down, you lose it again. So what kind of fun is that?
I know.
I mean, I'd rather have it steady, know what I'm getting, know what I'm going to make, and know that my principal's never going down. And if the stock market goes down, this does not go down. It's got a stop loss. If the market goes up, this mirrors it, and it goes up. If the market goes down, it just sits there and waits for the market to recover.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. If you're getting ready to retire, now is the time to put it in an annuity with us, hopefully, where you know that the company is solid, you know they've been in business over 100 years, and they can pay off at any time. That's important.
You always say, you know, to make sure you protect your principal. That should be rule number one, and you can't do
rule
that.
Rule number one.
Yeah. Stock market, that's not a positive. It's not positive. I remember, you know, it's been a couple of years since I think you've told some stories, but I remember you at one point telling stories about people thinking they've been in the stock market for years and years and years. They've been thinking that they're making all this money and you know, remembering all when the market was up and maybe forgot when the market went down, but they checked their portfolio and they hadn't made anything. I mean, they were like at the same level.
1.7. The people I was talking to was 1.7 for 17 years.
Oh.
I mean, that is not enough to fly a kite on, you know? And if you look at annuities, they've averaged 10% the last 10 years. Some years it was a lot more. Some years it was less. But you've got a great average. And if they weren't doing good, they wouldn't still be doing this and offering good bonuses. So they are. They've been in business a long time. They're owned by a Texas company, which is a good thing. And they're worth $60 billion. That's just one of them. There's two other companies they own. And I don't remember what they're worth. Probably $60 billion also. And I love their annuities. I love the way they pay. And when a client needs money, we send in a request. They can take 10% every year.
I know in a couple of weeks, you know, we start getting into short weeks for the Christmas week and then the New Year's week. And then people are on vacation. They're traveling. They're doing all kinds of things, totally distracted. So while we have a little bit of time left in the year where people are actually doing regular business, is there anything that people should be aware of or do before the end of the year, whether it's...
Well, you've got giving you need to be doing. You need to get all the things that you can deduct. Have that ready. Remember, if you paid premiums, all of that is deductible, 100%.
I forgot
about
that.
And I found people all the time that forget to deduct it and don't know that they can.
Yeah, good point. I forgot.
Your tax things, it's important this time of year. And who you're going to give money to. And I would want to recommend St. Bonaventure, the Indian Mission School, in Thoreau, New Mexico. You know I support it.
Yes.
And as you know, it's very poor, little Indian school through the 8th grade. You can see pictures of it online. And the school sends out lunches and meals on Friday to get them through the weekend. A lot of them are single mothers. These are all Indian children. And nobody's out there helping them. You know, here in Texas, there's somebody to help everybody. But out here on this little mission school, there isn't anybody helping them.
Yeah.
And they appreciate every dollar you send them. If it's $25, it helps somebody. But they have a water truck that brings water to all these houses every week. The water truck broke down not long ago. I mean, it's a sad situation, and they do need help. So everybody give a little bit if you feel like it. I think it's a great charity, and I've been doing it for a long time.
Who is it again? Let me write this down.
It's St. Bonaventure.
St. Bonaventure.
Indian School. It's in Thoreau, New Mexico. Go online, look them up. You'll see how poor a situation it is. It's a little Indian school, and they don't have anybody, like any big corporations, any big donors that I know of giving money to them.
Yeah, they're kind of under the radar, really.
And their houses are not much. And these little children, some of them walk to school, some of them take the little bus. But they, lots of times, if the little Indian school didn't have the extra food, they wouldn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the water, they get water from the water truck in jugs.
Hmm. And the truck broke down, you said, not long ago?
Yeah, not long ago. And they were trying to get enough money to repair it.
Wow. Yeah.
It's an iffy situation for these little Indians.
Yeah, it is. And it sounds like we're talking about children here, too. So
These are little Indian children.
Yeah.
And they appreciate it. If you send $25, they'll use it. If you send a lot more, they'll use that. And they never ask for a lot of money. It's an amazing group. They'll say, could you help us maybe with $25, $50? They never say, look, we need several thousand. They don't. They never ask for that kind of money.
Yeah. They make, it sounds like they make every dime count that they get.
Every
in.
Penny counts with them.
Yeah.
It really does.
Wow. Well, that's good to know. Then that's helpful. I know you've talked about them before. I've looked them up online, and the pictures. If just hearing you talk about it doesn't move people, seeing the pictures will. So yeah,
that's right. It'll move you off your butt, and you'll say, I could give a little help to those Indian children because somebody helps everybody in Texas.
Yes,
but out in New Mexico where they are, there isn't anybody helping them.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're kind of out there, away from. Really anybody.
They are. And it's grade 1 through 8.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So it's important to get any giving done, any donations done before the end of the
year. That's right. Now's the time of year to get all that done before the end of the year.
Okay. Anything else that people, like paperwork or anything that people should be doing?
Well, they need to be sure they've gathered up all their receipts for the year because, they're going to need that after the first of the year. Be sure that all the property taxes are counted this year. Your RMDs, you need to get those ready. You've got to take them this month.
Okay. Are people informed about RMDs, or do they have to take action themselves for it?
Well, if it's with us, we can direct it for them, make sure it gets out. And lots of times, if they don't have cash in that account, they can do like for like.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. It feels so weird to be talking about, like, stuff we have to do before the end of the year, but, man, I think next week is the last full week before we start getting into, the half week for Christmas and then a half week for New Year's, and then it's all over. And so it's kind of strange to be talking about that, but here we are. It seems like it's sneaking up on us, even though it's the same day every year.
It is sneaking up on us. We think it's still the middle of the summer. We think it's spring. And, I mean, here we are. It's almost all over. And what have we accomplished?
Yeah.
We need to make sure we've accomplished something in life.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
People are retiring, they need to come see us before the end of the year if they're retiring.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get a few things at least, get the ball rolling or, some processes started so that they can, roll anything over, make any transfers, anything like that. So, yeah, a lot of people do retire at this time of year. So, all right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Snyder, Texas.
Cool.
Snyder, Texas. It's named after a merchant and a buffalo hunter. Can you believe that? William Henry Snyder. He built a trading post on Deep Creek in 1878. And he drew all these hunters, and he had a small settlement, and he grew up around the post. And the early dwellings were made of buffalo hide and tree branches.
Cool.
Can you imagine? And they called it Hide Town. Then another name was Robber's Roost. So that tells you the kind of nefarious people that were coming to his trading post.
When you said,
you know,
when you said Hightown, I thought, oh, okay, I get it. You know, the buffalo hides, and you know, sure, it's descriptive. and then you went in the other, and I'm like, okay, just took a turn for the worst. What happened?
That's right, I did take a turn. Now they had 600 people there in 1892. They had a school, two churches, a grist mill, a steam gym. They even had two banks in 1892.
Really?
And two newspapers.
Did they need to?
well, we don't know whether they needed or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
but they have a white buffalo on the courthouse. You know, it's just amazing to me that all these people, you know, put something amazing at their courthouses. And they've got the white buffalo standing there, as big as Dallas. And then it was kind of going downhill. And then they struck oil in 1948.
Oh.
And so that made the town. And it jumped to 12,000 people. Can you imagine?
Booming metropolis.
It became a metropolis for a while. Of course, it's still a small town. Snyder's never become a major player, a major city.
No.
And like all small towns, it had to become famous for something, you know? And so what it did is all these people, like all the small towns I've told you about, had people that became famous.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they became famous, they became movie stars. You just won't believe that.
Really?
Yeah. This is where all your movie stars in Texas came from. Kevin Alexandro. He starred in Ugly Betty, Santas, and on TNT, starred in True Blood, Golden Boy, Powers Booth, you know, grew up there.
Really?
And I always loved, yeah. And he starred as Curly Bill, if you remember, in Tombstone, Joshua Fuss in Sudden Death, and Senator Rourke in Sin City. I loved him.
Yeah.
And that's just a few of them, let me tell you. Sonny Cumbie, 1981. He was head football coach for the Louisiana Tech University, and he started quarterback for Texas. He led the nation in passing and total offense. Then Charlene Hull, actress and model. She starred in El Dorado as Maud, Robert Mitchum and John Wayne, and she was born in Snyder.
Wow.
Dick Jones, actor. He starred in Buffalo Bill. It went to syndication. He starred as Dickie Jones, he was the voice of the character in the Disney film Pinocchio.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Charlie Lockhart. He was a politician. He was treasurer of Texas from 31 to 41. He received national attention as a dwarf. He was the smallest elected official in the biggest state. Brad Moy. He was best known for his role as Dr. Tony Jones on the television shows. And so he was very famous. He was born in Rattan, and he graduated from Snyder High School. And then Dave McGinnis, he was football coach, head coach of the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals.
Nice.
And Barry Tubb. The actor, he was born there.
Really?
And Christian Wyman, he was born there. I mean, a lot of actors in this little tiny town.
Wow.
I mean, I can't even imagine. It's kind of like Enos. All these small towns had people grow up that were really worth something, you know? They made something of their life.
I was fixing to say, it sounds like Snyder is fixing to give Enos a run for their money.
Run for the money, yes. Not only is that white buffalo there, you know, telling them about the old buffalo guy that started it, but then all these kids went on to become actors. I mean, I don't understand small towns, but I think the value of them is tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're a lot better than all of our big cities.
Yeah. I mean, it's great when people come from big cities and make something of themselves. Nothing against that at all. But I think it's really, really cool when people come from a small town, because it almost seems like the odds are stacked so against them. And then when you have a town like Snyder, you know, and just have one after another after another, and like names that people know. It's not these obscure.
I mean, a place that had 12,000 people in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And back then, 12,000 people, I know, was kind of a big deal. But, you know, still, by today's standards, you know, Snyder's still a small place. And so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 12,000 people probably didn't even have that many now.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they had several years ago. But this old buffalo hunter that started, I can't believe the houses were made of buffalo hides. And tree branches.
Yeah. You almost think like this is it. I'm picturing my brain like a teepee, almost, kind of, you know. It's just like, it's not going to hold out much of the elements. It's, I don't know how warm it would keep you. I would imagine not very. Rain, wind. I mean, anything could knock these places down. But, you know, I mean, that's what they
and
did
when,
back then.
When they started getting oil.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you how much oil flowed through there, but 1973, the 1 billionth barrel of oil was drilled.
Yeah.
And pumped from the fields. So the people there made a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, when you said 1948, they discovered oil, I'm like, okay, that's going to change everything forever. And so, I mean, we've seen it out here. You know, it's just, it changes literally everything. And so I'm like, yeah, that's a game changer. But yeah, the famous people, I don't know what it is. I mean, you could pick like a big city and name off, you know, 5-10 people that came from there. But that's a big city. That's big population density. You have a small town like Snyder, and you know, it's a much bigger, I guess, fraction or, you know, percentage of the people. So I don't know if there's something in the water or what, but between Enos and Snyder, I need to go explore alternative lifestyles, I think. Maybe
that's
move.
Right, because all these people, I don't know if they had acting classes, if they had drama classes. I don't know. But, I mean, 10 people became actors in Snyder, Texas. Little old town, not bigger than a minute. And but the oil took over. Everybody became very wealthy that owned any oil at all.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what colleges they went to, or if they even went to college. They may have went direct to Hollywood.
Oh, that's true. They may have just gone shoot for the moon right off the bat, not even gone.
And I don't know if it was English teachers. Don't know what kind of people, you know, put them on the right path. You know, to doing all this, to becoming somebody instead of just becoming a farmer or a merchant or a banker, you know?
Yeah. It's just people have gone on to do big things from small places. I think that's really cool. Really cool. You know?
It amazes me, you know, that all these kids could do this in a small town. You would think they'd have to be in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah.
You know? Some big place.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, because people, I'm sure, I've seen things on TV where people are in a small town. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, nobody's, you know, going to make nothing out of themselves out here. And this is, you know, we don't have any chance of doing anything or going anywhere or anything like that. And so it's really, really cool when people do. But yeah, you expect, like, I don't know, if you were to name 5 or 10 people that came out of Dallas that went on to be actors, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. That's neat. But coming out of a small town that, I don't know, for some reason, there's just something that's special.
Well, and Charlene Holt, you know, starred in El Dorado, which, you know, that was a big film.
Yeah.
You know, and played with Robert Mitchum, John Wayne. She had to have been good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and where do they learn these things? I mean, was there an acting
I don't know.
Academy?
I wonder about that. If there was an acting deal there.
Yeah.
And Dick Jones, you know, he starred in Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. What'd you say? Did you also say Powers Booth? Is it?
Yeah, Powers Booth. And he went on to do a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, my word.
That's... I mean, he was really famous. And he just died not long ago.
I know, and I saw that. I was, you know.
Yeah. And Powers Booth, you know, was an Emmy Award-winning actor. And he played, of course, if you remember the Jim Jones tragedy.
Yeah.
And then he played in Tombstone. And then he played in Sudden Death. Then he played Senator Rourke in Sin City.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone on to do some, or had gone on to do some really big stuff, not just.
He did. He was in a bunch of series. And I always thought Powers Booth was a great actor.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What, but I don't know where they got all this stuff. I need to research it farther. See if it was an old English teacher.
It must be. I mean, something happened, you know, to give these people not only the acting bug, but then to develop that talent so that they could go to Hollywood and be, you know, a successful actor. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do. You got to be really, really good.
How do you think they figured it out and left there and either went to acting school or went direct to Hollywood?
I don't know. They did something right, that's for sure. And so, yeah, Snyder goes, they're on the map. They're almost neck and neck for Enos.
That's right. We'll see who comes out ahead.
Yeah. Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It's almost worth it to take a field trip to go to Enos and then go directly to Snyder. Just to see.
That's right. We need to go to both.
Yeah. What's going on here?
I would have to go to the library, you know, in Enos and probably find out all this and talk to somebody who knew all these people.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of people know them and still remember them.
I'm sure. I'm sure that, you know, there'd be tons of stories. Like, oh, I went to high school with them, or I knew them from something. And
Or I dated my sister, or, you know, I mean, something big like that.
Wow. Clearly, I maybe have to move to one of these places just to soak in the lifestyle, the atmosphere. I don't know, drink the water, or maybe it's in the
That's
air.
Right. And,
I don't know.
Just hunker down and learn something.
Yeah, learn something.
And you can come back and tell us what all you heard by the grapevine.
Yeah, I'll take a pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage, because these two would be worth visiting.
Yeah.
And you might become famous, too.
Oh, I know.
They might take what it is that makes people famous.
It could be something magic that they do. I don't know. Here,
there could be a magic toadstool. Yeah. All kinds of things.
Wow.
You never know.
You never know. All right. Before we wrap up, I know we were talking about the bonuses for annuities. Those are still going on, 14%. It doesn't take long to get signed up for an annuity. A week, maybe? What would it
be? And not even that long now with all the new stuff. They've just now we can email it. We don't have to send the original.
All right. Cool. Well, that makes it more convenient.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So it's not very long now.
Yeah. So people can get in annuities before the end of the year. Life settlements, there is a little bit more to starting a life settlement. People have to be accredited first. That's the first step. So what does that mean?
Okay. Like if it's coming from an IRA, we've got to do a transfer and some paperwork. If you're bringing a check over, we just send the check in with the application. It's done.
Okay.
It takes a few days longer if it's an IRA or a Roth.
All right. But still not, it's not like a 6-month process. It's still pretty
quick. No. It's 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. See, that's not bad at all.
Not any longer.
No.
An IRA takes a little bit longer. But if you have a check, it's quick. If you're doing an IRA for your wife and one for yourself, We'll do it at the same time, so it'll take the same length of time.
All right. Yeah, a little paperwork, no big deal. Easy breezy.
Yes.
For accreditation, what does that mean to be qualified?
Okay, you must be accredited to do a life settlement. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without the house. You can count everything but the house. Your IRAs, your stocks, cattle, horses, a lot of things you can count, but not the house.
Okay. There's two risks people need to know about with the life settlement.
The biggest risk would be if it goes over and you have to pay premiums. Be sure you know what the premiums are, how much they can run, what the most they can run, and when it runs out. If it's a 20-year pay, if it can be converted, we would tell you all those things up front. So you need to know that. Also, it's not liquid till they pass away.
Okay. And, I mean, it's really, I mean, it seems like all your investors know that. They're not really calling you saying, hey, where's this, where's that? It's just really a matter of once you're in the life settlement, you just kind of like sit back and wait. And that's all there is to it.
That's all you do.
So conservative investments are what people, I think, are starting to look for even more than ever. And this would be a good time to get into either one. So for that to happen, people do need to call, make an appointment, come talk to you, ask some questions. That's fine, too. So one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.